everybody, indeed. Welcome to Metanorn's Mini Talk on Log Horizon for episode 16, Return of the Goblin King, starring Viggo Mortensen, Orlando Bloom, Elijah Wood, Sean Astin.
Yep.
No, none of those guys are in it. Although it'd be that would be weird if any of them did the dub for Log Horizon. J-Ro here, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Who's polite to laugh at my nonsense there.
It's all good.
So for this episode, Return of the Goblin King, that is the main subject. Starts off with the Sahagin invasion of the beach, and as they continue to press forward toward a town named Choshi, where the adventurers that were going on the sort of training camp kind of saw some people of the land there that aren't able to defend themselves. Kind of see like one girl that had the stuffed doll, that doll's kind of ripped up, implying, oh no, the little girl NPC is dead.
Mm-hmm, pretty sad.
So about the Goblin King, apparently there's some details about how this was kind of a very popular quest because it was a relatively easy one to defeat, and it offered up some rare rewards. And the interesting thing about how this applies to the situation that the adventurers are in, being stuck in the video game, is that because they were so focused on sort of getting Akihabara back to a good state, that they kind of neglected these kind of quests, and now because of it, the Sahagin are invading.
Right, yeah, you have a bunch of games do this, so basically it's a scripted event where a certain thing will happen and a creature will spawn. And I guess in Log Horizon, since they haven't killed that creature in like how many years, mm-hmm. I guess it's accumulated so much power. So now it's almost a raid level boss where it's going to take more than just five people to take care of. So, mm-hmm. And I guess the offset effect is the goblins that are near him, I guess, are not equal as power, but just as close enough. So mm-hmm. You got these two little armies, like you got the goblins and the fish people kind of merging on the city. So it's like it's kind of bad for everyone right now, even like the players.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. We thought that Yanta and Natsuku and the likes were going to fight this episode. That's not really the case, where this will be the first sort of true battle even against these creatures that the adventurers have been up against, because we saw Natsuku with Shiro and Akatsuki fight a level 68 boss, and it was pretty easy for them. This one kind of seems like there's some more intricacies to the battle and might not be quite as easy, and especially on such a large scale where you have the younger, less experienced members that are kind of getting involved in this, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But right now we don't quite know how strong the Sahagin are. We don't have an idea of what level they are. We just kind of assume they're pretty high in some cases, although we did see Toya and Rudy fight them and pretty easily took them out.
Right, yeah. I'm guessing ranging like 20s, probably maybe 40. Mm-hmm. I could see that being a range. Because most of the main players are at their 90s, so it's like somewhere around there. Could have some 85s thrown in there just to mix things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so some people, probably like Minori, who's wanting to save Choshi, her and her group might fight some of the small fry and stuff, while Yanta and the others eventually fight some of the bigger enemies.
Right, the grunts versus the elites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's causing a lot of trouble with communication is that what Natsuku and Yanta realize is that they forgot to add all the people to their friends list, which means communicating with them is very tough, although I believe it was Sarara or some other people that did have some on the friends list, and they were doing their best to kind of communicate with all the people that they needed to, sort of where to go, what to do, how to progress forward. And then also we saw with Shiro and the others that they arranged a sort of telepathic-esque roundtable conference where they sort of had other people talking for them so that they could have as close to real time a conversation as they could while being far away.
Yeah, it's like a translator for a translator for mm-hmm. a translator, and it's like that. But I kind of at the same time, I was kind of like, you know, I would hope they would learn from this, maybe make a chain of command where they have the guild leader and they have like several people under him that could help with the other stuff. Mm-hmm. It seems like Shiro was doing a lot by himself, but I don't even know if that's 100% true. I mean, other people are doing their own jobs, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Shiro specifically said in this episode that that was something he was going to work on to make better and easier. Mm-hmm. This can definitely be a learning experience. Now, in that sort of conference meeting, Shiro revealed the things that he had learned from Regan about the memory loss thing. And Krusty steps up and basically confirms what Shiro's talking about, saying that he's died twice since the apocalypse and that he's lost some memories. And it's kind of weird when people say, well, what memories did you lose? Well, I don't know. I lost them. Duh.
Yeah, no. But like he does the whole thing.
But he's saying something specifically about a cat that he had that he can't remember, like the name of it or just having it or anything. So there is something to dying and losing your memories.
Yeah, I think out of everyone that was kind of panicked about that, Krusty was the kind of remained calm. Shiro, he was just like, you know, it is what it is. We're gonna figure it out. And like I said, missing the memory of a cat, not a big deal to everyone else, but I guess, yeah. You know, if you think about it, like forgetting like your dad, you're forgetting your mom or brother. It's like it's kind of big to some people.
I mean, yeah, your memories are your own, and when you lose them, it means a lot, as we've learned from lots of anime where the main character has amnesia to start with.
Right. It's like maybe they were playing Log Horizon or Elder Tale before they, you know, got their character.
Yeah, they were playing some, playing some online game.
Probably, yeah.
We see a little bit about Lanessia, that her dad comes in, tells her what's going on, and he wants her to stay along with her grandfather, and I don't think we've seen the grandfather, and I don't remember seeing much of this dad even until this episode.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, hey, new character. Oh, he's dead. Like, what the hell's going on? And with my experience with old people in the anime, they're usually badasses. So I'm hoping Lanessia's granddad, whatever, is just this, you know, badass, like, Whitebeard from One Piece, was super old and just, you know, he owns people, so it's kind of cool. Hopefully, we're seeing.
Yeah. Like, he's like a level 90 or something. And...
yeah, 99. Like, just one more kill away from 100. Just one more.
But still, he'd probably get killed. Tragic death. The death flag's raised up on him, definitely. Mm-hmm. And to conclude the episode, we talked about the young ones wanting to save Choshi, and this is where Minori really steps up and says that we're going to save Choshi, and after, you know, kind of a cute scene where she's asking permission to save it, but Nyata's like, you don't have to ask permission, we're adventurers here, and her scene at the end of the episode was really great.
Oh yeah, definitely shown, like I said before last week, where at the beginning she was just scared, not want to talk to anyone, to now where she is now, taking charge to lead against like kind of the mini army. It's like kind of a big task to take on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to see her sort of grow a spine and you know, show some strength. So for some extra quests this week, Marielle's got some new armor after the beach. It's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, the breastplate. It's like, I would have been like, no, you can keep the bikini. You can fight in that. It's fine.
We still don't know about Rudy. That was sort of set off to the side this week.
Yeah, there's one thing I noticed. Like, is they're like attached to each other. You know, Izuzu was kind of pulling him his arm, like, don't go fight, you know, stay here. So she's worried about him. So maybe she might, I don't know if she figured it out, but we'll see. Mm. I know everyone in the comment section last week were just talking about Rudy in general, that something's going to happen soon, but it's for the people that, I guess there's a manga out for this or a novel.
Yeah, novel series, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of mentioned that would like to avoid some spoilers, but I know sometimes it happens, but it's fine.
And people that I feel like maybe we've seen at some point, but I've just recognized their names in this episode were Kawara and Shigeru from the cold open of the episode when we saw them fighting some of the fish creatures.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, don't think there'll be any kind of major factor. I felt like when we saw the telepathic roundtable meeting that there were some new faces in there, like the oh shoot, there was the one red-haired girl that was with that East Wind guy or something from that guild.
Oh yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah, she was there. She was kind of relaying the messages to the remaining roundtable guys. Yeah, a lot of them are kind of just like, "Why isn't Shiro asking us to come in there and help?" It's just like, I'm assuming that's because it's like, well, you don't want to scare off the NPCs right now, but we got them where we want them, and bringing like this large force out of nowhere would be like, well, they're gonna invade. I don't think the NPCs would like that. So.
All right, so for this episode, I had mentioned on our last mini talk for 14 and 15 that this was the start of when these two separate stories would be coming together, and now they really have come together with Shiro and on the other side, Minori sort of taking the lead. It's been really interesting, and there's something I'm just really liking about this that it doesn't feel overly dramatic or grandiose. There's something about the mood of this battle that I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, same here. I think this comes down to the characters. We don't have, I haven't seen anyone that I count as being overpowered. I mean, there are certainly a few of them, but it's not like they run the battle every time there's a chance to fight. Like Nyasa, he can probably take out that army easily, but he's just, not gonna charge in there. So they're kind of following a chain of command, like I was saying earlier. So, I mean, he knows his place right now. So.
Any other thoughts before we sign out?
Not really, just more curious about Rudy, what he really is. And part of me was just thinking, if he's an NPC, or if he's the king's son or something like that, and he wants to, learn to be a hero and everything like that. It would be kind of interesting. But because like you said, bringing both stories together would be kind of interesting like that.
So, for Fosh, for Jairo, we'll see you next week for episode 17.
See ya.